beginning to read at the 16th verse. David has just heard from God. The prophet Nathan, God's man for that day, had come and spoken to David and said to him that David was not going to be the one who was going to build the house for God, the temple for God, but that his son would build it and that God would establish the throne of his son forever. God had just made through the prophet some wonderful promises. And as we read this, I want you to listen for David's heart. Just listen for the beat of his heart as he's praying to God and as he's talking to his father here. And David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is mine house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And yet this was a small thing in thine eyes, O God, for thou hast also spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come, and hast regarded me according to the estate of a man of high degree, O Lord God. What can David speak more to thee for the honor of thy servant, for thou knowest thy servant? O Lord, for thy servant's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all this greatness in making known all these great things. O Lord, there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people Israel, whom God went to redeem to be his own people, to make thee a name of greatness and terribleness by driving out nations from before thy people, whom thou hast redeemed out of Egypt? For thy people Israel didst make thine own people forever, and thou, Lord, becamest their God. Therefore now, Lord, let the thing that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house be established forever, and do as thou hast said. Let it even be established that thy name may be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the God of Israel, even a God to Israel. And let the house of David thy servant be established before thee. For thou, O my God, hast told thy servant that thou wilt build him an house. Therefore thy servant hath found in his heart to pray before thee. And now, Lord, thou art God, and hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Now, therefore, let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may be before thee forever. For thou blessest, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever." Does that minister to you? I tell you, that ministers to me down in here in a place where I don't even think I can express what this passage of Scripture does in my heart. But God has established His covenant with us. He's established His word with us. He's established His plan and His purpose with us. And David said, "When thou blessest, O Lord, it shall be blessed forever." If you've declared a thing, O God, it shall prosper. If you have blessed something, it will stay blessed and be blessed from now and forevermore. And you can just sense the heart of David as he's praying this prayer, saying, "I hear what you said, Father. I receive it down deep in my spirit. I know what you've declared about me. You said that you're going to build a house for me, and that my house will never depart from off the face of the earth, and that you're establishing my house on the throne of God forever and ever. And I don't understand that. I don't know why you should choose me, a small man like I am, insignificant as I am, that you would choose to honor me. But I know you did, and you said you were, and I believe you are. And if you've blessed a thing, and if you've blessed a man, and if you've blessed a nation, and if you blessed a kingdom, then blessed be unto God, it is blessed." And I can just hear David's heart crying out this thanksgiving and this gratitude and this blessing the name of God. I kind of feel as he felt. As a child of God, as a brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has made unto me and he has made unto you great and precious promises, wonderful promises that the mind of man cannot even conceive nor understand. But if God has made the promise, blessed be God, He is able to bring it to pass. And my heart tonight is full of this same prayer that David prayed. God, I don't understand. In verse 18, he says, what can I speak more to thee for the way that you've honored me? What else can I say to you, God, because of the way you've honored me, your servant? For thou knowest me. That's David's prayer. You know who I am. You know how insignificant I am. You know how small I am in the eyes of men. But you've honored me as your child. You said that Jesus Christ is the firstborn of many brethren, and you've called me to be one of his brethren. And you've said in your word that as he is, so are we in this world. You've said in your word that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and that we are seated in the heavenly places with him. God Almighty, why would you honor me so? God, why would you make me a promise like that? You said in your word, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you, but I will give unto you my Holy Spirit, and he will abide with you forever. God Almighty, why would you make such a wonderful promise to me? My heart cannot take it in. I can't receive it all. You said in your word, I am the Lord thy God which healeth thee. I'm the Lord thy God which healeth thee. God Almighty, how could you make such a wonderful promise to me? Insignificant as I am, you said that you would meet all of my needs by your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And I know that all the gold and silver in the world and all the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to you. I know that your bank account is not short, therefore neither is mine. God Almighty, why would you ever love me so much and honor me so much above men and women in the earth that you would make such a wonderful promise to me? And you said in your word that we are partakers of your divine nature. Partakers of the nature of God. Do you get a hold of that? Partakers of the nature of God Almighty himself, Heavenly Father, above all men on the face of the earth, how could you honor me and bless me because you know me? You know how small I am. You know how insignificant I am. You know how weak I am. You know how little I have to offer. How could you honor me and bless me and grace me with all of these wonderful promises? God, I cannot take it in. It's too big for me to understand. I know that it's true and I receive it, but my cup runneth over with the fullness of it and with the majesty and the glory of it. And I know that if you have declared me to be blessed, then I know I am blessed forever. Blessed be God. Can you feel it in David's heart? Do you feel a little like that? God Almighty. God Almighty. The things he's declared about you and about me. And then, knowing that we probably would not be able to understand that. Knowing full well that we would not really be able to receive all of that wonderful news, he took upon himself flesh. He came in the form of a man to show that what he had promised, he was able to do. And just one scripture out of the book of Luke has always been very meaningful to me. There are many, and if we go through the Gospels and look at the life of Jesus and just see what it is that he did, look at his ministry. You know, John the Apostle said in the first chapter of the book of John, I believe it's the 18th verse, that no man hath ever seen God. No man hath ever understood God perfectly. Nobody has ever discerned him completely and known what he was like, except the only begotten of the Father, and he hath revealed him unto us. No man hath ever understood God perfectly and fully, except the only begotten, and that is Jesus of Nazareth, and he, that is Jesus, has revealed God to us. Jesus said, I don't do anything of myself. I don't do anything of my own. But whatsoever I see the Father do, that I also do. Those verses out of the book of John have become so meaningful to me just in the last few months. I don't do anything of myself. I don't speak anything of myself. The works that I do, I don't do them, but God does them in me. Jesus exalted his Father. He glorified his Father. He said, glorify thyself in me. In the sixth chapter of Luke, God reveals a portion of himself in the life of Jesus. Reading at the 17th verse. And he that is Jesus, oh hallelujah, came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Now here are the people of the earth coming to see this man Jesus, this prophet of God, this one who'd been doing mighty works all around the Sea of Galilee and all around the area of that day. They came to see him. Is this man really from God? Is he really able to produce and to perform and to do the works that God had promised that he would do? They came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And let's see what the great revelator of God did. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, that means they also came, and they were healed. And the whole multitude, now I want you to get this is important. And the whole multitude, that means many, many people, not just a few here and there, but everybody, sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and he healed them all. And he healed them all. They came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And even those that were vexed with unclean spirits, they were also healed. When God Almighty said to Moses and the children of Israel as they were coming out of the land of Egypt, he said, I am the Lord thy God, which healeth thee. Jesus of Nazareth came, the direct expression, the very God become flesh, and he healed them all. Hallelujah. Not just a few, all of them. And it didn't matter what their problem was. It didn't matter whether it was demon-caused or whether it was so-called natural-caused. If they were not whole in any area or in any way of their life, virtue went out of the Lord Jesus Christ, entered that body and entered that life. Deliverance and healing came in the place of brokenness, sickness, disease, and oppression. That's the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. When God says, I have blessed you, he means I have blessed you. And he has done it. He has done it. He has done it. He has done it. And my heart, my spirit is just not quite able to receive all that. There's nothing short about our God. Sometimes there's some things short about us. We're not able quite to take a hold of what God's done. Sometimes we're not sure he wants to. Sometimes we're not sure he's able to. Sometimes we're not sure we want to. But I want you to know tonight, He does, and He's able, and He will. I don't understand it. I do not understand it. To understand it, you'd have to understand love. I do not understand. I don't know how God could love so deeply, how He could care so minutely about the lives of the men and women that He's created. But God wants you to know tonight that which is on my heart to share with you tonight is that God has chosen you from the least of the people of this earth and has established you unto Him a holy nation. Listen to me. A holy nation. A royal priesthood, Peter said. A peculiar people. You were once not a people at all, but now you are a people. You were once dead, but you're no longer dead. You're alive, praise God. You were once nothing. Nothing. Not worth to be trodden upon by the feet of men and beasts. But now you're a holy nation. A royal people. Bought and paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has made promises to you. And He's made promises to me. I say to you again, I do not understand them. But I know they are true. I know they're for me, and I know they're for you. And I know you can have them for the asking. Now some will say, well, it's too simple. There's nothing very complicated about this. Jesus said to Matthew, Matthew, follow me. He didn't give him a 40-minute sermon. He didn't even give him a 3-page memo. He did not tell him about all the fringe benefits. He said, follow me. Matthew left everything he had, says, where are we going? And he followed him. That's what he says to you. That's what he says to me. Do not resist my ways by trying to understand them. Only follow thou me. Only take it up and come behind me. Listen for my voice and follow after me. Don't try to figure everything out. You'll go bananas trying to figure it out. I've been there recently. And it's no fun. And some of the rest of you have too. Don't try to understand it all. God is not a mind. He's a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him not in the mind, but in the spirit, as well as in the truth. God says, you'll never understand all about me. In order to understand all about Him, you'd have to be Him, and you're not Him. He says only one thing. Only believe. Only, praise God, only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. And receive what I have for you. That's God's message. It's that simple. It's the same one Jesus preached. He's still preaching it tonight. Fear not. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Now there are some of you who are here tonight who need to believe Jesus. For one thing and another that I have mentioned, and maybe some things that I have not, but who need to reach out to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I believe. I don't understand, but I'm in need. I don't know why you would honor me like this, but I believe that you have, and I take you up on your word. Jesus said in the 14th chapter of John, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he also do. Yea, even greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I go to the Father. And if I go, I will come again. I will send the Comforter unto you. This is the body of Jesus Christ. Somebody asked you, have you ever seen Jesus? Your answer really has to be yes and no. You may never have seen him in the flesh. You may never have seen a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may never have touched him with your hands. But if you have seen the true church of Jesus Christ in operation, in worship, in service, if you have seen brothers and sisters in the Lord, yes, you have seen Jesus. Yes, you have. This is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, don't ask me to explain that. I don't understand it. He said it. That's good enough for me. I believe it. The body of Christ. He said that body will do the same things that I would do if I were here in the flesh. Now, I want to ask you tonight, how many of you are sick in any way or oppressed in any way and you need a touch from Jesus tonight? I want to see your hands. If Jesus of Nazareth were here in the flesh tonight, would you be embarrassed to come before him for deliverance or healing? Would you believe that he could minister it to you if he were here tonight? Just shake your heads. Would you believe him? Do you believe that this is the body of Christ? Then the same power is here. Jesus said these words. See, these words, people, these words are not idle words. Jesus never spoke an idle word. You cannot find for me a fruitless or useless word that came out of the mouth of Jesus that's recorded in this book. He didn't say anything in jest or in farce. If he said it, he meant it. And you don't have to be concerned about whether he was serious or whether he was playing games with his disciples. He said in the Gospel of Matthew, where two or more of you are gathered, two or more. Glory to God, what a promise. There am I in the midst. He said, I'm in the midst of you. If there are just two and you're gathered in my name, then I'm there in the midst. And when he was in the midst of his disciples on the plain, we just read the story, the multitude thronged to him. Those that were vexed with unclean spirits were delivered. Those that were diseased were healed. How many? All. All. Where Jesus of Nazareth is, there is healing and deliverance for everyone, not just for a few. That's important that I share these words with you, because the Word of God says that faith, to believe God, comes from hearing the promises that are in the Word. That's why I share these promises with you. So that you know that when you come unto him, that you're not begging him for something and trying to get him to change his mind about something. He has already declared his will. He's already said, I want to deliver you. I want to set you free. I want to heal your diseased body. I want to. That's my desire. If you'll only believe me, if you'll only believe me and only put your trust in me and in my word, that healing will come. And that deliverance will come. Not in the circumstances, not what you can see with your eyes, but in what I've declared in my word. I will not fail you. I will not leave you. But I will abide with you forever, he said. That's his words. I don't know about you, but if those words aren't any good, then I'm not sure about the ones where he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. Hundreds and thousands and millions of God's people are expressing and releasing and confessing faith in that promise of Jesus, that he is building a heavenly place for us across Jordan, but will not believe him for the simple provisions of this life. Promises given from the same man in the same way to be received on the same basis. Does that make sense to you? All of God's promises are equally true. If he's preparing a place for us, if he's going to come to get us again, then he'll also heal your mortal body. He'll also provide for your financial needs. He'll also minister deliverance to you if you're bound in any way. That's the promise of God. Now, what I invite you to do tonight is to receive the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe His word, to ask Him for that which you need, to allow someone to agree with you in prayer for that need, and just simply to believe on Him. Let me ask you to bow your heads, please. Close your eyes. I believe there are a number of here that I just sense faith rising in this place tonight. And I believe that there are many here tonight who are willing to exercise faith in the Word of God and release their faith in the ability of Jesus to touch them tonight, not tomorrow, but tonight. I believe there are a number here tonight that are in need and perhaps been wrestling with whether they would be able to receive anything from God tonight. Even wondering, well, what kind of a message is the pastor going to preach tonight? Is he going to give a call? Is prayer going to be offered for the sick? What are you going to do tonight, God? If you've been seeking God, you see what He's doing. He doesn't move this way every service. Father, we want to thank You for the promises that You've made, for the commitments that You've made unto us, and the demonstration of their validity and their truth in the ministry and the life of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We've heard Your word and we've heard Your promises. We know that You're the same Jesus today as You were yesterday, and that You'll be the same Jesus tomorrow. And we know that since You overcame Satan and sin and the grave and death, that You can overcome it today. We know that Your name is greater than any other name that's in heaven and in earth or under the earth. And that Your power is no shorter or no less today, Your ability no less today than it was in those days that we read about here in God's Word. And our hearts tonight are like David's. We do not understand the depth and the breadth and the height and the width of Your love. But we are filled tonight with Your mighty Spirit. We are filled tonight with the fullness of all that's God in our spirit. We know that You love us. We just sense it. We know it. We're aware of it. We know it's true. We know that You want to minister to us tonight. And so, Father, we just come before You in the name of Jesus, asking to have our needs met tonight. As we've ministered unto You, Father, in praise and in worship, and have loved You, return that love unto us in the way that we need it most tonight, in healing, in deliverance, in liberty, and in freedom. There's someone here tonight who's concerned about a mate and about a marriage that is rocky. God wants to set your mind at rest. I don't know what else He wants to do, but He wants to set your heart and your mind at ease tonight concerning the marriage, concerning your situation as far as your marriage is concerned. God wants to give you peace in your heart concerning that situation at home. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. There's more than one. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. All right, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I'm going to ask you to make your need known before God by just standing up and coming forward from where you are. I want you to stand up from your seat. If you need something from God tonight, I want you to stand to your feet. And I want you to come down front and say, I'm not embarrassed to come before Jesus and receive my needs met tonight. I need something from God, and I know He's able to do it. And I'm going to have it tonight because I'm a believer and not a doubter. I believe in the power and the ability of God. I'm not a doubter. And I need something from Jesus tonight. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now we receive by faith in the Son of God. We don't receive on the basis of great demonstration or great signs. God may give signs. He may give wondrous deliverance immediately and instantly that you can see and that you can feel. But we touch Jesus tonight by our faith in Him.
Hallelujah.
Not by what we see and not by what we feel, but by our faith in Him. Let me ask Jim Mims if he'll come and come down on this end, please, Jim, and help me. Dick Speak, I see you there. Would you come and give me a hand also, please? Now, in the congregation, I want to ask you to stand, please. And I'm going to lay hands upon these brothers and sisters who have come only as a means of contact, as a channel by which they can release their faith, not in me, but in Jesus of Nazareth. And I want you just to set yourself in agreement with me as I'm praying, and let's pray individually for each one. And as I lay my hands upon each one, would you just allow the Holy Spirit to use you to intercede for these that we're praying for? There may be somebody standing in the line that God has already pointed out to you that He wants you to pray for. You go on and pray for that individual if you want. But let's get as much prayer power concentrated on the ministry as we can, and let's touch God for each of these needs.